We begin the current daven Saftisivam Mesdaf Lamed Vav. We begin 21 lines down from the top of the Amud. But the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, and that is we had a machlekes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish regarding the halacha of chalitzis mu'beres, if it's shmo chalitza or not. That is, there's halacha when a person has a brother that dies without any children. You have to do either yibim or chalitza. Now, if there is a child, then there is no such halacha of yibim, and she's actually is eches ach, she actually bonim. Now, the question is regarding when, if she's mu'beres, if she's pregnant. Now, we're not sure if she's going to have a viable child, thus not having halacha of yibim, or it's not going to be a viable child. So then there was a machlekes, Rabbi Yochanan said, a chalitza is mu'beres, is going to be considered a valid chalitza if, after the fact, she miscarries. Retroactively, it's revealed that it was a good chalitza. Whereas the Shlokesh argued, and he said, no, that as it says in the Pasuk, ayin alav, if right now it's not an ein loy banim, there is not for sure that there's no child, then it's not in the parasha of yibim chalitza. It has to be only if there's definitely no child, and therefore chalitza's muberes would be loishma chalitza, wouldn't be a valid chalitza, and then if she miscarries, you'll still have to do another chalitza after that. So that the Gemara continues, says Amr Belazar, he says, Efshe is lahadu Rish Lakish, is it possible that the halacha follows like this of Rish Lakish, that as we said, the chalitza muberes is not considered a chalitza if he's giving to her when she's pregnant, and we didn't ever learn this, that it's alluded to somewhere in the Mishnais, in the Mishnaic, the corpus of halacha. So that the Gemara says, Nafik dak ve'ashkach. So he went out and he searched and he found that it's not, like we learned in the Mishnah on the Kof Yotesim Abayz, that sources, this halacha seems to be a clear proof to this halacha of Rish Lakish, that you can find it in the earlier sources than in the Mishnais. The Mishnah says as follows. Ha'isha shahalach baila, a woman that her husband went and he didn't have any children, v'tzarasa l'medina sayam, together with her co-wife, the husband was married to two women, one woman stayed home, another woman went with the husband that didn't have children to medina sayam, to a faraway land. Ubo v'amrula meis balacha, now people came and told her, your husband died. So now the halacha the Mishnah says is, ha'rezu lo tinasa, she's not allowed to get married. Now, as Rashi explains, the Gemara's assumption right now is that she's not going to get married, no matter what the circumstances, meaning even if her husband's brother would come and do chalitza to her, wouldn't make a difference. She's not allowed to go ahead and marry someone else in this meantime. Moreover, neither could she have, so she's not allowed to marry someone else, but neither can she have yibim done by her husband's brother. Achateda, until she finds out, why? Shema muberes hitzarasa, because maybe her co-wife is pregnant, meaning that co-wife that went with her husband. If she's pregnant, then it's going to turn out that then her husband didn't die without any children, and then she could go ahead and marry someone else. But if she hears regarding her co-wife that she's not pregnant, then of course she can go ahead and do yibum with the yavim because her husband died without any children. But however, as Rashi explains, as the Gemara there says in Perakei Isha, that, but we're not concerned that maybe her husband married someone else in Medina Sayam, and that's why it only uses the term that maybe hitzarasa, maybe her co-wife is pregnant, that's the one variable she has to figure out if she's not pregnant, and she could do yibim. If she is pregnant, then she would have to wait until that there's a child, and then she could marry someone else from the shuk. So now the Gemara develops the proof. Bishlem yivumi loy. It makes sense why in the meantime she can't do yibum. Shema Yehevlad ben Kayama, because maybe that her co-wife, that if she's pregnant and it's going to be a viable child, v'yivka be'isra eshazach deraisa, if she's going to go ahead and do yibum to the yavam, well, if her husband had a child, she's a regular eshazach deraisa, it's his brother's wife, which is biblically forbidden. Eloloi tachlitz, but then the question becomes, but not doing chalitza, to then allow her to go ahead and marry someone else from the larger population. Amai, why is that forbidden? If you say, like Rabbi Yochanan, that chalitza is muberes, ishma chalitza, doing chalitza to a pregnant woman would be a valid chalitza, well then, as it's called, memavshach, either way you look at it, you should be allowed to do chalitza to allow her to marry someone else. Because whether her co-wife is pregnant or whether her co-wife is not pregnant, the chalitza should go ahead and exempt her. Because either way, it's going to be working. If she's not pregnant, for sure chalitza is going to be working. And even if she is pregnant, so the chalitza will still work because if she ends up having a child, so good. So she can marry someone else because her husband didn't die without any children. So there's no problem of yivam l'shuk. And if she doesn't end up having a child and she miscarries, well then chalitza mubaris like Rabbi Yochanan, nishma chalitza. As the Gemara explains, bishloi metachlitz b'toich tes, understand that to have chalitza done within 9 months, meaning when the woman's, her co-wife is carrying a child, and to v'bivin b'tinasi b'toich tes, and to then go ahead and marry someone else within the 9 months, loi, we understand over there, according to everybody, wouldn't be able to do that. Because hainu safik, that would be a situation of doubt, because maybe the child of the co-wife will be a viable child, and then if there's going to be a child, obviously the bia and the chalitza that is happening from the yavam is not doing anything. Rather, what's going to be exempting her and letting her marry someone else from the larger population would be the child. But the problem is, as we had mentioned this on previous daf, that the child only exempts only when it's yatzla avar olam, when it comes out to the world, when it's actually born. So I understand, according to Rabbi Yochanan, even if you would say chalitza mubaris shmo chalitza, but on the point of the doubt, that maybe if it's going to be a viable child, then the only way she can marry is when the child's actually born. But the question on Rabbi Yochanan is, ela tachlitz b'teich tisha, let the yavam do chalitza right away, even within the 9 months. V'tinasi lacher tisha, and then she can marry someone else after the 9 months, as we said, miman of shach, because then you have either side, you're covered. If her co-wife that's pregnant ends up miscarrying, or even if she was never pregnant at all, so then the chalitza that was done was good, because if she was never pregnant for sure, it's a good chalitza. And even if she was pregnant, but she miscarried, Rabbi Yochanan holds chalitza mubaris. Doing chalitza to a pregnant woman is considered good chalitza. And if it is a viable child, so after 9 months, the child's already born. So obviously, rather what you can infer from here is that maybe the co-wife was pregnant during the time of the chalitza. And maybe the child is not going to be a viable child. And that chalitza will not exempt, like Rish Lakish had said. Because since one of them is pregnant, it's not applicable to do chalitza at that moment, as the Gemara had said in the previous daf, as it says in the Pasuk, Ein loy banim, where we say we darshan the word ein loy, ayin alav, analyze. Are you sure that he doesn't have any children? It's not for sure, because she's pregnant. That means to say that he might have a child. He might have a child, then there's no yibam chalitza over here. It doesn't start at all, even if retroactively it's revealed that she needs to have chalitza because she miscarries. So therefore, it seems to be clear, as Rabbi Elazar is trying to prove from this Mishnah, like the halacha is like Rish Lakish, not like Rabbi Yochanan, because if you held like Rabbi Yochanan, then why should you say that she's not allowed to marry until she hears what happens with the co-wife? What do you mean? Either way, let chalitza be done right away, wait till the end of 9 months, and then Meman HaMashach, either way you look at it, she should be able to marry someone else. And that the Gemara rejects the Raya. Because the Gemara says, well, Tameich, according to your reasoning, according to the logic that you're proving for Rish Lakish, that if the reason is that you cannot do chalitza because maybe the co-wife is pregnant at the time when the chalitza is being done, and that would be a problem of chalitza mubaris lishma chalitza, but even according to you, tachlitz v'tinasi lachar tes, let the yavam do chalitza after 9 months, and then at that point she's definitely not going to be pregnant, and then she can go ahead and marry someone else. In other words, the same question would be on Rish Lakish. It's still not understood, that Mishnah over there. Why does it sound like from that Mishnah that you can't get married even after many, many years until you hear what happened with the co-wife of the husband, what's going on? What do you mean? You're asking according to Rabbi Yochanan, you should be able to do chalitza within 9 months and then get married after 9 months. You're right, but that same question is even according to Rish Lakish. Not within 9 months, but after 9 months do chalitza, where then it's not going to be chalitza's mubaris anyway because the husband's been dead already for 9 months. She's definitely not going to be, the co-wife's not pregnant. So therefore, either way, if she had a child, so good, you can marry someone else. If she didn't, so it's not chalitza's mubaris, it's a regular full-fledged chalitza, and then she should be able to be married. So El Rav, the Gemara says, obviously that's not going to be a proof to Rish Lakish. Bar minodahi. That Mishnah is an exception. In other words, you cannot infer from there a raya to Rish Lakish, because there that the Mishnah says that you can't do chalitza within 9 months and to get married after 9 months, the reason is not because of this doubt of Yavam Lashuk. Rather, the reason is for a different reason. The Abaya Bar Abba, Rav Chinna Bar Abaya, Damar Tavayu, both of them said the following halacha. The reason is, Shema Yehei Vlad, maybe the child of the co-wife is going to be Ben Kayama, a viable child. Now, if that comes out that the co-wife was pregnant and ends up delivering a healthy child, What comes out is that the chalitza that was done within the 9 months, like you're asking, what do you mean do chalitza within 9 months, marry after 9 months, and then either way you got your bases covered. And that, on that they explain that no. Because if that co-wife ends up delivering a healthy child, so it comes out that the chalitza that was done to this one that's still home by the yavam was unnecessary. It wasn't even called a chalitza because chalitza is not done to a widow that her husband has children. And therefore, she would still be kosher to kahuna. She's not a chalutza. Now, the problem is, someone that sees the chalitza being done, it's a big thing, they come to Bezdin, and people watching, will consider her as invalid for kahuna because he saw that she's a chalutza. Now, the nimtza, it's going to come out that ata matzricha chares l'kahuna. You're going to require this widow, this yavama, to have an announcement made that everyone should know, oh, she is kosher for kahuna, that she's not possible with the chalitza that was done to her, because that wasn't a valid chalitza. So the Gemara asks, okay, balatzicha, what's the big deal? So require that. Meaning, we're not sure what's going to happen, so we're going to do chalitza within 9 months. So he's saying that if it ends up being that the co-wife we hear ends up delivering a child, so the chalitza wasn't a chalitza, and therefore she can marry kahuna, so make an announcement, what's the big deal? The Gemara says no, because there's a problem that could come out. There might be somebody that happens to be there at the time the chalitza is being done. But he's not going to be there at a later time when we hear that, oh, the co-wife ended up delivering a child, the chalitza wasn't necessary, let's make an announcement that she could marry Kayin. Now, that person's not going to be there. And at a later point in time, he's going to see, wait a second, isn't that woman, didn't she get chalitza? She married to a Kayin? A chalitza is allowed to get married to a Kayin? And because of that problem, we don't want to allow this chalitza to be done within 9 months, not because of like the Gemara was trying to prove that because chalitza is mubez leishma chalitza. It's no, even if it would be a valid chalitza. But maybe it won't be a chalitza because the co-wife will deliver a child. So the chalitza was nothing. It was just taking off his shoe. It wasn't any halachically valid activity because there was a child that was born. And there might come out a problem that someone's not going to be there by the announcement and assume that a chalutza can marry a kohen. Now, additionally, the Gemara actually says that Amalei Abaye says that the whole question actually doesn't even begin. Because if you analyze the exact terminology of the Mishnah over there, you'll see that it's not a right to Rish Lakish. Because midi loy tachlitz v'loy tisyam ketani, does it say over there that this woman that doesn't know what happened, she can't have chalitza done to her or yibm done to her, which that would then be approved to Rish Lakish, who would then infer, not like Rabbi Yechanan, why can't you do chalitza within 9 months? And even if it's chalitza is muberes, it would be shma chalitza, and marry after 9 months. But it doesn't say that. Actually, it uses the words that neither can she have yibm done to her. That's because if her co-wife did have a child, that would be a problem of eish achshish labanim. And neither could she marry someone else out in the larger population, but that's only because it's talking about beloy chalitza, without chalitza. Meaning, what would you say? That you would rely on, say that, oh, that my co-wife, that yes, of course I cannot have yibm done if she's pregnant, but most women deliver healthy children, and I say that she definitely delivered a healthy child, and I can go ahead and marry someone else without chalitza. That is what it's saying over there in the Mishnah, that you cannot marry someone else without chalitza. But the truth would be, Abaye says, to explain Rabbi Yechanan, that if chalitza was done within 9 months, actually the truth would be, hachanam d'shari actually would be permitted after 9 months, because halacha would be like Rabbi Yechanan, that bi'is muberes and chalitza muberes would be shmei chalitza. It's only saying, loy tinasi v'loy tisyam. But it doesn't say, loy tachlitza v'loy tisyam. You actually could do chalitza within 9 months, according to Rabbi Yechanan, and you could even say that to explain the Mishnah on Daf Kof Yutes. Now, however, the Gemara does conclude, Tanya Kavaseh Rish Lakish, we have a clear braisa like Rish Lakish's opinion, which says, Hacheletz l'muberes v'pila, if someone does chalitza to his brother's widow that's pregnant and then she miscarries, the halacha is, tzricha chalitza menachen, she still needs chalitza from the brothers. In other words, the chalitza that was done to her while she was pregnant is not a valid chalitza, again, because like Rish Lakish had said, chalitza is muberes loishma chalitza. So Amar Rava, he says, the halacha follows the Rish Lakish in these following three halachas. One is this halacha we just said, that although he argues Rabbi Yechanan, here we're going to say halachas like Rish Lakish, chalitzis muberes is loishma chalitza, it's not considered valid chalitza. And idach tetnan, the second one is a Mishnah Baba Basra. It says as follows, hamachalak nechasav al piv. If someone is dividing up his estate orally, In other words, what it means to say is based on his word, but not based on the halachas of Yerusha, of inheritance, which works without saying anything. The Torah has its own guidelines how Yerusha works. But if someone's not waiting till the Yerusha halachas kick in, he's dictating what should happen with his estate. And riba le'echad umit le'echad. He's giving more to one, less to another one. Or v'hishv lehem es b'chayr. He says, I want the firstborn to be the same as everybody else. I don't want, like the Torah says, that he should get a double portion. So that the Mishnah says, Dvarav Kayaman, his words will stand. And because he gave everybody from his estate when he was still living, it's not included in the halachas of Yerusha of inheritance that, let's say, for the Bechir to take a double portion, neither that all the other sons should have an equal share. Rather, the one he gave more to gets more, the one he gave less to gets less. Now, however, Ve'im Amamishim Yerusha, if he says it within the confines of the halachic dictation of inheritance, where he says, I want this son to inherit this field, and I want that son to inherit that field. And that, the Mishnah says, Lo'im HaKlum, what he has said has no halachic standing. And the reason is because he's violating what's called Masna Mashakasa B'Torah. He's making conditions on what's written in the Torah, and therefore his conditions are nullified. Because since he didn't give, as the Torah says, that all sons should be equal and the firstborn should have a double portion, therefore his conditions is saying, I want the Torah to bend to my will, that doesn't work. And because he's doing it within the confines of Yerusha. Now, if Kasav, if he writes in this document, Bein Betchila, whether in the beginning of the document, as Rashi brings, for example, if he uses the terminology of matana, of giving, he says, let this field be given to such and such a person, and then he inheritance. So he's writing a gifting in the beginning of the document. Or Bein Betchila, whether he writes it at the end, where he writes, Yarsha, let them inherit, and betinas and loya, and that it should be given to him. Or Bein Be'emtza, whether if he writes the idea about gifting, meaning not the halachas of Yerusha, in the middle, where he writes, Yarsha, v'tinasan lo'i v'yarsha. So somewhere in there you have the terminology of gifting, not of inheriting. So then if it's mishumatan, if there's somewhere there the idea about because of a gift, then Dvarav Kayam, and then his words will stand, as the Rashbam explains about Basa, since he has included in there the concept of matan, of gifting, that works, even with the concept of Yerusha being there, the child will still acquire it, and it won't be a problem of Masa Masha because of a Torah. Now we continue on with Beis, where the Gemara brings Deva Amr Shlakish, that Rish Lakish said. Now as Rashi qualifies, Rish Lakish is not arguing on that Mishnah within Baba Basa. Rather, there in Perek Yesh Neichlin, there's a machlekes amiram in how to infer the understanding of the Mishnah. And that is when Ravin came, he said that if, let's say, the person writes that such and such a person should inherit that field, and that other person should be given, a lashon of matana, of tinasin, that field to that person. Rabbi Yochanan says that even the one that was said in the terminology of Yerusha will acquire it, because since somewhere in that document it has been written to at least one of them the idea about gifting, about a gift, matana, then all of them are included in this of this exclusion of the permission of matana. Whereas Rish Lakish says that no, la'olam la'kana, that the one that was written that it should be with Yerusha will not acquire. And the reason is because we say that no, for this one he said matana, this one he said Yerusha. Achayayim re'plainu plaini, Yershu saw the plainness of plainness, shenesatim lehem b'matana b'yirashim. Until he goes and includes everybody in this matana terminology, where he says that let this and this person inherit that field, that I have given to them, and they inherit it, so somewhere there he has included all of them in the concept of matana. This is the second halacha where it's like Rish Lakish, where even though one said matana, one Yerusha, and Rabbi Yochanan said that that will work for both of them, Rish Lakish says it will not. V'idach t'tnan, and the third one is also Mishnah Baba Basra, that says, HaKesav kol nechasav lebnoi la'achar moseh. If someone writes all his properties, where he writes it now, to his son, that it should be given after he dies, meaning it's written in the way of what's called Mehayoyim la'achar misa. I want my son to have it now, but he'll only be able to have the utility of it after he dies. Now therefore, based on that, it comes out that the father really doesn't own the property itself, even now. The only thing is, he has what's called eating the peiros. He gets to have the tashmishin, the utility of the thing, meaning the functions, utility of it, using it, that he has. But the actual goof, the object itself, is owned by the son already now. So that the Mishnah says, Ha'av enu yochel limker. The father can't sell these objects anymore. He has already given, the objects are owned by the son. It's just the son can't use it. The father says, I'll use it. I have the payers until he dies. So he can't sell it. And v'haben enu yochel limker. The son also can't sell it now. Because it's in the domain of the father. The father gets all the utility. So he can't sell it because then he won't be able to use it, which is what's called payers. Now, however, ha'av, if the father did sell it, then mechurin, they're sold, meaning they're sold that the purchaser could then use the peris, what's called utility, as long as the father's alive, because what he does merit by that purchase is whatever the father had up until now, which is the utility. Achayamasu, until the father dies, and then the son would get it. Machar haben, if the son sells it now, ein lekech klum achayamasav. So the purchaser doesn't have anything with it until the father dies, because although he owns the object, that has no utility, because the father has the pairs, until the father dies. When the father dies, then the sale of the son goes into effect, and then the purchaser gets to take it. Now, v'idma, we learned the following machloikas. Mocher ha-ben b'chaya av. What happens if the son sells these objects when the father's still alive? Now, umeis ha-ben b'chaya av. What ends up happening is that the son dies while the father's still alive. So we have a machloikas. He says the purchaser never gets to acquire these objects even after the father dies. Whereas Rish Lakish says, no, the purchaser will get to acquire this after the father dies, as Gemara explains. He says the purchaser doesn't ever get it because the halacha is kinyan peiris, the acquisition, the rightful ownership of payers of utility that the father has in these properties is what's called kekinya guftami. It's considered like the acquisition of the object itself. In other words, for all practical purposes, this object is totally owned by the father. Hence, the sale of the son wasn't even a sale whatsoever. Now Rashi clarifies. Says, although the Mishnah said that if the son sells, that the purchaser will not have anything up until the father dies, but it sounds like that when the father dies, then the purchaser will have that. That's different. That's because when the father dies, if the son's still alive, so then the sale that the son made will be a valid sale. Now, what happens is what's called, whatever a person sells, he sells all the rights he has in whatever it is that he's selling. So that's going to go to the purchaser. But when the father was alive, the son didn't have anything because the kinyan peiros, the rights of the utility, is like the rights of the whole object, which is called kinyan guf. Now the son has nothing. So what he sold really didn't sell anything, but he sold the rights that when the father dies, he's going to get it. So then when the father dies, now the purchaser gets it. But if the son dies and the father's still alive, so he never ended up getting anything because he only gets anything when the father dies. So therefore, when the father then dies afterwards, it never then goes to the son to then goes to the purchaser. And therefore the purchaser doesn't get anything because the son wasn't selling anything at that time. It's only when the father dies that then the sale really goes into the effect. He says, no, the purchaser will acquire it even if the son died first and then the father. Because the rights that the father has to the utility does not consider it that as if he owns the object itself. It's actually that the son owns the object, even now when the father is still alive. Hence, he has sold something at that point. So although technically there's nothing for the purchasers to use yet until the father dies, but it has been sold. So even if the son dies first, when the father will die, that sale will have already gone through the son to the purchaser, and then he's going to be able to get that. And that's the third halacha that we paskin like Rish Lakish. Now, the Gemara continues discussing our Mishnah that said that if the Yavam does Yibum to his brother's wife, and turns out she's muberis, she's pregnant. So the Mishnah said it depends. If ein havlat shel kayama, if it ends up being that the child is non-viable, so then it said yikayim, so then he could either remain married or that he has to go ahead and then consummate that relationship. But the point is, he could remain with her because it turns out that although he had a relationship with her and it almost could have been a eshes ach, a iser karas, but turns out he's okay because she didn't end up having a viable child, hence she's in the parasha of Yibum and Chalitza. Now, however, Tanu learned Nabraisa, another Tanoic opinion that argues. Mishum Rebeleza Amru, in the name of Rebeleza, they said that Yetzibeget, he has to remove her, he has to divorce her with a divorce document. Now, as Rashi explains, Rabbi Elazar is arguing on the end of the Mishnah that we just quoted, that said, if the ein havlat shel kayame, if it's not a viable child, that's the Tana of that Mishnah explained, so yikayim, you could remain with her, because it turns out she's not an eish esach. That Rabbi Elazar is saying that even if it's not a viable child, we penalize that yavam that he has to divorce her with a get. Because you put yourself in a very precarious situation. You don't know. You could have violated Issa Eshesach if it would have been a viable child. Now, although now retroactively it's revealed that it was a good Yibum, but still, we're going to penalize you of getting into such a situation. Now, however, as Rashi explains, but you don't have to do Chalitza. Because, yes, you're right, retroactively it's revealed that it was a good Yibum because she didn't end up having a child, and therefore you don't do Chalitza, you do a get because she is married to him, but still we require a get, and we don't let you stay married because of a knas. Now, Amar Rava says on this halacha that Remeya, Rebbe Eliezer, Amar Davar Echad. Both Remeya and Rebbe Eliezer say essentially the same thing, that as the Gemara will shortly quote, Remeya also penalizes someone that marries his friend's pregnant or nursing wife, where if, let's say, he divorced or he died, so then Remeya also requires that you have to divorce if you violated that iser of marrying this pregnant or nursing woman. As the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer Hodama, Rabbi Eliezer is like we just quoted. That he says if someone went and entered into a volatile situation, a possibly violation of iser eshesach, so you did something wrong. You didn't wait the appropriate 3 months that we say after the brother had died, and therefore we require you to divorce her. Remeya the time Remeya is like we learned in the Braisa. Says that lo yisa adam uberes chaveru menekes chaveru. The halacha is a person is not allowed to marry. Let's say his friend died, and his wife is pregnant or nursing. So the halacha is you're not allowed to marry her, and the reason is because a woman that her husband died and she's pregnant or nursing, you can't marry her until after 24 months, after 2 years, because if the child's nursing, the child needs that nourishment, and that goes up to 2 years. However, the Mishnah, the Braisa they discuss is, let's say he violates that and marries her within those 2 years. So the halach is, Yaitzi v'lo yachzor ilomis d'Remeya. Remeya says you have to divorce her and you can never, ever marry her again. That's the knas we give. The Chacham Aymerim, they say, no, Yaitzi, you have to divorce her. We don't want you to stay married to her because it's true. We don't want her to conceive because then she's going to stop nursing and the child might die. But when it comes a time after 24 months where then she could marry people, then he can go ahead and consummate that relationship with her. So we see that both Remeya and Rabbi Eliezer are saying the same idea that no, you put yourself in a situation which is wrong, you didn't wait the appropriate time, so then you have to divorce and you could never stay married to this woman. On that, the Gemara asks, Amalei Abaye. Abaye said to him, Mimai, how can you make this comparison that to say that Remeya and Rabbi Eliezer are saying the same halacha? Dimalahi, maybe it's not true. Maybe they wouldn't agree to each other. And you could say reverse types of svaras. Atkan lekam Rabbi Eliezer hacha. Maybe only over here by our sugi Rabbi Eliezer said that yoytzi olamas, that you could never stay, you can never marry this yavama. Elamashem de kapaga beisra eshesach deraisa, because you encountered a possible violation of biblical proportions of a brother's wife. And you were so lenient to put yourself in that type of situation that maybe would have been a viable child. So therefore we penalize you. Aval hasam derabbanan, but there, at most, it's a rabbinic violation of, because we're concerned about what will happen to this nursing child. So maybe over there, actually, Rabbi Eliezer would be kerabbanan severely. Maybe he would hold like derabbanan, not like Remeya, and that is, although, okay, divorce her for the meantime, but maybe he would hold that you could remarry her after 24 months. Inami, or you could say the opposite. Ad kan lekam Remeya hasam, maybe only over there Remeya said that when you marry Minekes or Mubez Chaveri, that you have to divorce her and you can never remarry her ever again, that's Elam Hashem Drabban, and maybe to the contrary. There it's because when you marry your friend's ex-wife, that's a rabbinic violation. Now, people are lax and they're disgraced rabbinic violation. That's a rabbinic. And therefore, as we find many times, actually the sages made a strengthening for their words, more and bigger safeguards than we have by biblical violations. And maybe therefore over there we penalize him, because we don't want someone else to do the same thing and not wait the appropriate 2 years. But over here regarding this yibum that was done to a pregnant woman, where midiraisa, that's a biblical possible violation, they're mefresh parshamina. Their people stay away. We don't have to penalize over there that maybe some other people are going to do that because it's a deraisa. People wouldn't do that. And maybe over there, actually, there he wouldn't hold like Rabbi Eliezer that we knas, and maybe Rabbi Meir would hold like the town of our Mishnah that you would be able to be Mekayim, and therefore it's not a riot that they both agree to each other's halachas. Now, Amar Rava, Rava says, just to clarify that this brisa that we quoted, says, according to the opinion of the Chacham that said that, okay, when it comes the time after 2 years, that then she could have relationships, and however, but up until that time, so then we said that Yitzia is beget. That you have to separate from her by divorcing her with a divorce document, and then remarrying her after 2 years, and it's not enough with just separating in the meantime. That's how Rava clarifies that opinion of the Chacham and the Halacha. Now, that Amazotre says, Dekanami. Actually, it's you could infer like that from the words of the Braisa, because Diktani, we learned over there in the Braisa, the Chacham say, Yoitzi, you have to send her out. But like Diktani Yafresh, doesn't say you have to separate. Shmaminov, and then you could infer, like Rabbi just explained, that the Halacha is, even according to Chacham, that are lenient, and that you could remarry her after 24 months. But in the meantime, you have to totally divorce. And you can't just say, okay, we're married, but we'll stay separate. You live there, I live over here, so that you shouldn't conceive. No, you have to actually divorce. Now, based on this halacha, this clarification that Rabbi just said in this brisa, now, Omalei Rav Ashi Rav Hoyshib Redev Idi. He's asking the following question. Now, that's why the Gemara is bringing here, because the Gemara wants to say, what would be the halacha in this case that we just spoke about based on the following brisa? Hasam Tanan. We learned over there in the following brisa. Pshimim Lil Omer, he says, Kol Sheshah Ba'odim Lamed Yoim. Whenever you have a child that lived since it was born for 30 days, then Ein HaNefel, it's not considered a non-viable child. As Rashi, that's why we picked a person, because over there in the end of that brisa, it says that an animal is different. There it only has to live 8 days to be considered a viable child. Here, regarding a human, it has to be 30 days. Now, based on that, since after 30 days, if it lived that long, if it's, let's say, lived 32 days, then it's not a nafel, and so it will exempt his mother from chalitza, which means, say, if his mother had, her husband died without any children besides him, and then after the 32nd day, then he died, it doesn't make a difference, the mother will be exempt from chalitza because it's considered that the father had a child. Now, on that, the inference is, but haloi shoho, but if let's say the child died within 30 days, he didn't live up until 30 days, then it sounds like sveika hava, that then it's a doubt. We're not sure if this was a viable child or not. Hence, you have to do chalitza, and you can't do yibim. You can't do yibim because maybe it was a viable child, and however, but you can't just marry someone else and you require chalitza because maybe it was a non-viable child, and therefore you need to have chalitza or yibim. Now, as Rashi clarifies, it's only talking about that if we are in doubt, we don't know if it lived a full 9 months. But if we know that it lived a full 9 months, then the Mishnah says in Masechtas Nida that even if it's a day-old child, it will exempt from yibam. Now, that's the halacha it says over there in that brisa. Now, Ve'idmai was taught that Meis, if the child of the Avama died b'toich lamad yom, within 30 days, which again, that's a case of a doubtful halacha, therefore you require chalitza and not yibam. But let's say this woman was va'amda v'niskacha. She got up and she got engaged, she got married to someone else. Now the reason was because she said, I have a child. Now, although the child ended up dying within 30 days, she didn't realize that that could be a problem because, wait a second, it didn't live 30 days. We don't know if your child was considered halachic like a child. Now, what does a person do then? So we have a machlekes amaram, what Rava said in such a case. Ravinimish made the Rava amar. He says, im eshes yisrael hi, if the new husband that she married is a non-kayin, where if she would then get chalitza from the Yavam after that she had kedushin from him, she would not be forbidden to her husband because a chalutza could marry a non-kayin. So then Ravina said that Rabbi said chalitzas. So because it's doubtful, maybe she's a Yavam al-Ashok, or maybe not, so you have to go ahead and have chalitza done now, even if she already got married to someone else. But vim eshes kayin hi, but if this new man that she got married to is a kayin, where if she's going to now get chalitza from this Yavam, she's going to be forbidden to him because a chalutz is not allowed to marry a kayin, then in the chalitzas, then you don't do chalitza and you rely on the fact that even if the child didn't live 30 days, but you say that it's very likely that it was a viable child In other words, that it's halachically a child, and therefore she is not a problem of Yivam Lashok, and therefore the marriage is a good marriage. That was Ravina's version. Rav Mishar Shemeshmeid Rava Amar, he said a different version in the name of Rava. He said, no, Achazu v'Achazu Chaletzes. Both of these women, whether she's married now to a Yisrael or even to a Kohen, requires Chalitza. Now, Amalei Ravina Rav Mishar Shemeshmeid, Ravina said to Mishar Shemeshmeid, when on top of Lamazayim and Aleph, he says, you know what, you're right. Ba'ur to Amar Rava Hachi. In the evening, the first version Rava said was like you. He said that even if she's an Eishes Kohen, she requires Chalitza because maybe she's Yivam Lashok. Maybe it's a non-viable child because it didn't live up to 30 days. As we said, that's a suffix, as Rav Shimon Galil had said. And therefore, you require Chalitza. I don't care that she's married to a Kohen. Fine, Kohen, so now you'll be Asadim. But in the morning, he reversed, he retracted from that version. And I heard from his mouth that he said that if she's married to a Kohen, that she doesn't need Chalitza. So he responded to Ravina, Sharitu? You're going to allow this woman to stay married to a man, even if he's a kohen, without chalitza? Yehi rava to tishtru av tarba, may it be the will of Hashem that you permit even forbidden fats, even that of chalib. Meaning to say, how can you let a woman stay married if the halacha is that you require chalitza in such a situation? That's that discussion. Now, the Gemara concludes Rav Ashi's question that he had to Rav Hoshe Breid Rav Idi, that he was asking. He wants to know, hacha, over here, regarding the case we're discussing in our Gemara, Gabe Mu'uberes Chaveiroi Oiminekes Chaveiroi Hanesu LaKoyin, we just discussed the Chacham's opinion regarding, and which was Machlekes Remeir, when a person goes ahead and, although Chacham say you have to wait 24 months, but let's say he marries the woman even if she's pregnant or she's nursing. So he said, according to everybody, you have to divorce her. The only question was, can you remarry her after 24 months? Now he's adding to the question. What's if she's Hanesu LaKoyin? Let's say that she got married to a Kohen. I mean, this one who got married to her within 24 months was a Kohen. My, what would the halacha be over there? Mi Avd Rabbanan Tekanta LaKoyin, do we say that Rabbanan instituted their Tekana for a Kohen? And that is, even though for Yisrael, you're right, as we find that the Chacham say, that you have to divorce her with a get until the time comes after 24 months, and then you could remarry her. But the question is, maybe over there, when then the 24 months comes, that then you could remarry her. There we say, fine, it's not enough just to separate. We want to have a total separation. So you divorce and then you'll remarry later. But over here, where the kohen, if he's going to divorce her, then he's not going to be able to then remarry her because she's then going to be a grusha. Maybe over there would be enough just to separate. Maybe as we see over here, that we see that if it's an Eishes kohen, as we concluded from Ravina, that then we don't institute the required chalitzas and certain separations because it's going to make her asra on her husband the kohen, or maybe not, maybe we require it even the same by the kohen as the Yisrael, and you have to divorce, and okay, fine, she's a grusha, that's nothing we could do that about it. So Amalei, so Rav Hoshe responds to Rav Ashi, he says, Hachi Hashta, can you compare the two cases to say that, oh, you see, there's such a svara that Eishes kohen, we're more lenient, we won't do certain things that we usually require because we don't want her to be asra on her husband. But Bishlam Hassam, over there, that we don't require chalitza afterwards, if she's an Eishes Kohen, like we said from Ravina, that's Kivan de Iker Rabbanan, the Pligaler de Reb Shimon Gamliel. In our Gemara, we only quoted the opinion of Reb Shimon Gamliel in that brisa, so that says that the child's only considered definitely viable after 30 days. But there are Rabbanan that argue in Reb Shimon Gamliel, the Amri Afagaf, the Loishaha, they say even if a child didn't wait 30 days, Vlad Ma'al Yahav, it's still considered a totally good child, and that would exempt the mother from Chalitza. Therefore, that we have another opinion to rely on, Sagabe Eishes Kohen, Kivan Delei Efshar, so by when if she's now married to a Kohen, where it's not possible for her to then just chap around, to just get in a Chalitza and stay married, because then she's going to have to then be divorced from her husband. So then Avdina Karabon, and there's an opinion, a legitimate opinion halacha to rely on, where we rely on and say that, you know what, even if he died within 30 days, Rabban say that's still considered a viable child, and therefore she does not need chalitza. Aval halacha, but here in the case that you're asking, Kaman Navid, who are we going to do like to make a dispensation and say that, okay, you know, usually we require that a get, and then remarrying after 24 months, he will just separate, but who would that be like? Ikra Meir, if we'd be going like Reb Meir in the Braisa, Ha'amar Yetzi B'Leyachzai Lamas, he says you have to divorce and you can never remarry. Vikra Abana, if it's like Rabbanan Ha'armi Beget, they say that at least you have to divorce with a get, but then only later can you remarry after 24 months. And therefore, of course, you have to go ahead and give a get. And if she's married to a kohen, it doesn't make a difference since he violated this rabbinic prohibition of marrying muber, so meneges chaverai, he's going to have to give a get. And then if it's a Yisrael that married her, he could remarry after 24 months. If it's a kohen, it doesn't make a difference. We are not going to make a special dispensation. If she's married to a kohen, that would only be with an addition if there's a halachic opinion that we could rely on, which in that case is the Rabbanan. Here, there's no other halacha to rely on, and therefore, definitely have to divorce with a get.